Okay, this is Chairman Brad Holton. I'll bring the meeting back to order. Still present is Commissioner Van Beek. Still absent is Commissioner Brooks. We have a fiscal year 2026 budget workshop, and where would we like to go? You want to start with which one?
Mr. Chair, we can start with misdemeanor probation. Take them right in order if you want, the remaining three.
That works for me.
Okay. If you don't mind, I can take the lead on these.
Okay, all right.
So the misdemeanor probation budget, this is a follow-up to the workshop. This is in regards to the director's salary. And so from FY 22 to 25, we actually did some corrections. We've looked at your directors under the board, do the market data to see where they fit, make sure they're getting paid appropriately based on the responsibilities and the shifts and everything else is being included. During that time, we have adjusted the landfill, parks, fair facilities, and fleet directors. Right. So just kind of give you a little history. This year through the FY 26 budget, Director Danner from HR came to me. There was a couple changes we wanted to make. I asked her to do a top to bottom look at all the directors once again. And the corrections we've made for the others I referenced are good, but there are three others. And we talked about one of them, constituent services. That's on the record. Those changes have been made within power plant on the request. We talked about the director of misdemeanor probation, and I didn't have the numbers at that time because I couldn't find the numbers that Director Danner gave me. But that one, and again, the narrative is Jeff Breach, he's been a director for 17 years. And he's in grade 16. He's not even at the midpoint of that grade. He should be at the least the midpoint of that grade based on what he does.
Yes.
And so the difference would be $6,513.25. And that would be taking that salary from $96,082.48 to $101,493.60. So what I'd like to propose that we put that difference as $6,513.25 into the misdemeanor probation budget under 413080, new reclassified positions.
Okay. All right.
So that's just a follow-up.
Does the clerk have that?
See the dollar amount one more time?
$6,513.25.
Okay.
And you did or did not put it in? You're on the record wanting us to put it in that amount. Okay, gotcha.
Okay.
Yes, please.
Right now it shows zero on the request. So I'm just asking to put that in that 413080.
Yeah, so it looks like Director Reach will move it into the 080 line. He put it in the one above.
Equity
pool.
Yeah, we'll adjust it, and we'll adjust it to the amount that was stated by Chief Rass.
Oh, perfect. Okay. That number still.
I see what the look on your face for. Okay.
So that is the only change and follow up on that.
On that one.
On that budget.
Okay.
I think the number that Director Breach put into his budget included benefits per se, the per se bump up. That's what I think included in that number.
I believe you're right.
Yeah.
So we have.
It's like 7,100 something.
Oh, he had 67,96,39.
That includes the Percy bump up.
So the $6,513, that's without benefits?
I think so. I
thought that was included.
I just gave him he emailed me for a number earlier in the week.
Salary range.
Was the salary range, because I think Chief Rass, you mentioned the salary range itself, is that amount the division of the salary range, then we know that it would be net of benefits.
Yeah, it's not doing that. It shows the difference between the two numbers I gave you, the 96,082 to 101,493. The base salary is 5,410. So I think the 6,513 is with benefits.
It is. You're going to be right.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. So sorry.
We'll just go with that one.
Yeah.
We'll adjust that.
Do you have any other questions on that budget?
No.
Okay. It's reduced and it's pretty straightforward.
Okay. I make a motion that we accept that those changes and go forward with that.
I second.
Okay. Motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Okay, so the next one is the human resources budget. This goes along the same lines of the analysis of directors. I know we have Director Danner in the audience, so I'm not here to embarrass her, but I asked her to do the same analysis, and I didn't feel right that an HR director should present her own numbers. And I did look at these numbers, and I totally agree with it. I'm going to give you some justifications for this.
Okay.
So the request on the HR's director's salary is moving from $133,045.12 to $139,378.62. That reflects a $7,609.86 increase with benefits.
Okay.
The reason why I felt like it was justified is through the time that Director Danner's been here, she's reduced positions and she's taken on more responsibilities. She's taken on the compensation and the benefits rubric, so everything goes through her desk before it's signed off on. Mm-hmm. That was a dedicated position before that was eliminated pretty immediate once she started in the position. She is really the subject matter expert in the Kenyon County Employment Health Trust Board, and she is the rep for that board for the self-insurance employee plan. And so she's going through that revamp right now with Gallagher under contract with. So that's a heavy lift. She's got a wrangle on the workman's comp claims. So that's been streamlined. She works with CIF pretty strongly. She's also the insurance rep for the Kenyon County on employment claims with our self-insured carriers with Hartwell. She's revamped the job description templates, getting that streamlined throughout the county because it was not streamlined before. Performance management, she's in the middle of that, of standardized performance management throughout the county. We're moving from ADP to Dayforce. These kind of go hand in hand. And that's a whole new human resources information system platform change to Dayforce that we've chose. And she was a big part of that. Also took on the special project, I believe, Commissioner Holton, this is one of your things when you came in the office, is splitting out specialty pay and base pay. That has actually been done. Working with auditing team, so now doing compensation calculations is a whole lot simpler by running just base pay and not specialty. And then last but not least, the employee handbook revamp. She's done multiple revisions and she's doing a complete revamp of that. So all those responsibilities, that reducing staff, taking all that on herself, I think it warrants the increase.
Okay.
I'm sure I've missed some stuff. And Director Danner's here if you want to ask, but that's kind of my proposal on that.
Chairman?
Yes.
In my short time here, I have had the ability to work under, or with, not under, but with several HR directors, and Director Danner is exemplary. She far surpasses anybody that's occupied that seat, from what I've heard before I got here to the experience that I've had with her since coming. I had some reservations just because it is a seat that has been a rotating seat, but Director Danner has never backed away from anything she's been given. She's a hard worker, a taskmaster, and a built relationships. That's what we've charged people previously to do, was to bring together and build relationships with the elected body and the directors and employees. I appreciate her non-political stance in simply discharging the duties of managing 1,000 employees and the people within her office. She walked into a very divided office and has done a cleanup job in a way that has been amazing. I have a lot of respect for the vision that she sees in what needs to be done and the turnaround time that it takes her. I know she works a lot of hours to get to the self-appointed goals that really benefit all of Kenyon County. And I want to say, too, that because of the rotation in this seat, that we had, I guess, a little bit of a probation, and we wanted to be fair to the taxpayer to see how Director Danner would perform. So she accepted less than what was being offered in the beginning to come and be a part of our team. And she is an amazing director. I am in support of this simply because of the volume of work and the critical nature of this position, and the success of Canyon County is directly tied to human resources and the level of professionalism that's demonstrated by this a person in this key position that serves all the officers and all the department heads and all the employees. That is a lot of responsibility, and she's done it in a way that is should be recognized on the record for what she does. She's a modest person, has a law enforcement background, which I think gives her the moxie to do her job without bias. And so just a lot of great things about this director that I'm exceptionally proud that we have her a part of our team, and it's been a great journey to have her on board.
Well, as in a land use hearing, I agree with the prior speaker totally. And I think that we're blessed to have Marty as on the team. And I think that it's earned and well-deserved.
Agreed.
And then, Mr. Chair, as another point of reference, from the approved of FY25 on the salaries and benefits of HR, I see $927,000. But the actual request of FY26 is actually reduced. And the request is $875,000. So there's bandwidth there to put this in there based on the reduction of positions.
True. Yeah. $51,000 and change.
And Chairman, can I ask a clarifying question?
Yes.
This was it within the HR budget. You identified that savings. Thank you.
So then the recommended, again, the number would be $7,609.86 in 413080 new reclassified positions in the HR budget.
I'm in favor.
Okay. So that is a total line in increase in expenses, though. I don't want to give the misrepresentation. So if you go down to total expenses, or am I at, I see. I'm at A budget, B.
Yep.
I retract that. Or in the other vernacular, never mind.
Chairman?
Yes.
Are you taking the next one?
I just want to make sure we have a clear direction is on the HR.
Yes.
Good with that?
Yes.
Because you're to the end?
That's the only changes I have for the HR budget.
Okay. Clerk, do you have any questions or comments?
I'm good.
We're good?
Yeah.
All right, so I'd make a motion that we take these adjustments in if you're done with the budget, and that we put those changes and go forward with that.
I'll second.
Okay, motion has been made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Okay, the next one is the commissioner's budget. There is one B change that Commissioner Brooks wanted me to bring out here for your consideration, and that's in the subscription line in the commissioner's budget, 546635. The request is $500. You'd like to move that to $1,000. Give another $500 because there's a membership, I cannot remember the organization.
It's a national membership, and Chairman, I'm going to support this because Commissioner Brooks is a data-driven nerd on the side of looking at the legislative issues and keeping the county informed. We're really blessed to have him, and this subscription will only benefit Canyon County because of what he's willing to snoop out.
Okay. All right. I was at the Association of Idaho Counties and listened into a conversation about this with others, and so I can totally support it.
Chairman?
Did you get that line?
Yeah, the subscription line to $1,000.
Correct.
Yeah. And then, Chairman, the A budget, there is one change, the A budget, that I would like to propose, and we have Marty here, and then just in fairness for our chief operating officer, I would like Marty to present that, and whether you choose to stay for the discussion, which will be positive, or whether you choose to recuse yourself, that's up to you.
Ball's in your part.
I think I'll recuse myself from that one.
Okay, yeah, well, we'll see you back here in just a few minutes. You can listen to the recording, yeah.
We'll come and get you after this discussion point. So for the record, COO is leaving the room.
Yeah, and Chairman, I just want to say that the Chief Operating Officer, this position was an idea that I brought to Canyon County after meeting with the Ada County Board Chairman several years ago before Rod Beck. And the stability that this position has brought to and the ability to augment what Canyon County, the executive and the, what we do, I can't say enough about it. He works hours that are insane for Canyon County, and he assists all the officers. His door is always open. He's well-versed in compensation and has a really polished political way of presenting information and persuasion to get people to pull together. He's been invaluable in IT. He took that department when he assumed the helm in 2015 and cleaned it up, and it's one of the best functioning IT departments in the state. He's just does a great job. I can't say enough about the skill set that he brings and just the number of areas that he's able to touch and get collaboration, which means that when you get buy-in, you're going to get a high level of success and ability to move forward. But with that, thank you for letting me make comments. I really want Director Danner, who has done for this position on these key man positions in the county, there's been an evaluation. I requested that this be reevaluated to make sure we were on par with what's happening.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Commissioner Van Beek. So I did do an analysis of just the COO position, not Chief Rast in the COO position, but the COO position. And in looking at time in role and responsibilities of the role, I did send notification to that I do recommend a 3% increase of what he is currently at. If we look at the individual, in particularly in 20, before he transferred over to the Board of County Commissioners as the COO, he was the director of IT, and his salary at that time was $152,096. And when he left IT to come to the Board of County Commissioners in the COO role, he did take a pay decrease, and at that point it was, he took a decrease to $144,400. It was about $144,500. But that was also in 2023. He came to the Board of County Commissioners 12/26 of 2022. He took that pay cut then. But since then, he has received COLAs, and he has received increases. He is currently at $152,547. So he has made up in those 3 years. He is currently at the exact, almost the exact rate was when he left IT department. If you take where the COO position should be and the grade that it is with his time in role, I would recommend moving him up to grade 19. Let me pull up this email. The COO position is currently graded at a grade 19, but he is low in the grade for his time in role. And so my HR recommendation was to boost him by 3% up to 157,123.20. And that would move him up to a level 7 of the grade 19.
Chairman?
Yes.
And I think we're getting a great deal with that. And I want to say the pay cut that he took to come down here was not because he had less responsibility, he had more, and he has consistently been involved in trying to fill and find a replacement for the IT director. He is currently doing not only the chief operating officer, but at a great cost savings to the county. We are on a search for the director of IT, and he is filling that role. as well, in addition to a role with the sheriff's office for the E911. That is a demanding role in and of itself, and he has the technical expertise on the IT side to be able to manage that. He's got, it's only his strategic and organizational skills that allow him to do that, fill those three capacities and be available. This is an amazing deal for Canyon County with that level. He does a great job. Every penny of this is well deserved. And he's moved up and made up, but that's only because everyone else has also. Yep. So
just in the effort to be perfectly clear, when I'm asking for, when I'm recommending an increase, it is to the base for the role only. Currently, Chief Rest also receives specialty pay for his interim directorship of the IT department and as the sheriff's MOU in an interim role. He does receive specialty pay up over and above his base currently.
Yes, and Chairman, I would say thank you for that. You did an analysis of that, but the cost savings on the A side for him to fill that role is significant to the county. It is a cost savings to the taxpayers for him to voluntarily assume that level of responsibility in Canyon County. So, great director, great COO.
And those two roles are interim, and as we go forward, it would be best filled by a person. So that's,
yes,
it's not the ideal that we're running under.
Correct.
At all. And burnout is a potential problem that the commissioners are painfully aware of, that we're asking a lot from an individual that's willing and capable, and for the public, it's our long-term goal to get those positions replaced by other people of what he's doing.
Yep.
We attempted with a new IT director, and for various reasons that didn't work out whatsoever, and so he's been doing several roles. The 911 deal is critically important, as well as the IT. Neither of those two roles stop. They go all day, all night, every day. So what I do want to say to the people that are aghast at the salary range is that here's the challenge. The state legislature and the enthusiasm over the Idaho open meetings law really don't have a grasp how county government runs. I get it for the cities, because you have a mayor that can do the administrative work without having violations and bring that back to council. County government form, the way by statute we run, is completely different. We do the legislative, we do the quasi-judicial, and we do the administrative. And those three stools are what's required of a county commissioner. But to do administrative, and I don't want to throw anybody under the bus, but I don't see how you easily and legally get that done as county commissioners under the Idaho open meeting law. And this COO position allows this county board of commissioners to operate cleanly and efficiently and not be in violation. And I don't see how the other commissioners are able to do that. They don't do the volume of work we do. I mean, the majority of county commissioners don't meet every day like we do. And so he's indispensable to us, just as the COO position for the 80 county commissioners are absolutely indispensable to them. And so it's a valued position that's needed, and it functions well. And I can't imagine being a Canyon County commissioner with the volume of work that we do without Greg or that position being here to operate for us.
Agreed. And Chairman, I want to make it clear too, because I hesitate to go historical, but this position was weaponized for political reasons that are, they were poor. This person does not do the job of county commissioner. This person greases the wheels so that government can function more efficiently and with the demonstration and leadership on the dais has markedly improved with his presence and the addition of competent commissioners in their seats. And so thank you for your comments. They're valuable and they're well stated.
Okay.
So, Chairman, I would move that we approve the increase in salary for this position, and it's not person, it's position, and everything that the oversight of what does he does, it is a very good deal. And this, I don't think you could touch this on a market basis if you peddled that skill set in the private sector. So,
Clerk, did you get those numbers so they could get in?
I believe I reverse math to get the increased amount and then ran it through our benefit calculator to get that added on there as well. So I believe we have the proper amount included there.
Okay, perfect. All right, we're good?
We're good, Chairman.
I'll go get Greg.
Thank you, Marty.
I have a meeting at 11.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So invited back in the room. So
thanks, Marty. Okay. So, is there anything else on the commissioner's budget, either on A or B? Then, do you have anything else?
No, for the commissioner's budget, I do not, Mr. Chair. I do have a few items, if you don't mind. Today we have a compensation workshop.
So my suggestion is let us vote on the changes.
Oh.
And then we can be one and done with the commissioner's budget, if that's okay.
Yeah.
I was worried that you had other issues on the commissioner's budget.
Nope.
All right, so I would make a motion that the numbers that have been shown for the A and B, that those changes be submitted and be part of the budget going forward for our consideration.
I second.
Okay, motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. All right, so one and done on the commissioner's budget. Other items.
Okay, so Mr. Chair, as I was starting to say, we have a meeting this afternoon with the compensation proposal. I would actually like to reschedule that to July 7th at 3 p.m. Traditionally, this is going to be my 11th budget that I'd be a part of, and typically we do the compensation after all the workshops are completed. We've moved the PAs, the sheriffs, Sheriff's, I believe, is on July 7th. Facilities is next week. So I'd like to have a little more time to go through some scenarios with HR. We've got some preliminary numbers. I'd also like to have the opportunity to sit down with the clerk's office to see what's going to be presented. And then we can kind of go from there. So I'd like to move that if we could.
Chairman?
Yes.
And I'm in favor of doing that to give them the needed time. This is always one of the most challenging parts of the budget that requires a lot of attention to detail. Additionally, I don't want to have that discussion with one-third of our board not able to be here. And Commissioner Brooks, no fault of his own, he, as you've indicated, is at a funeral. His input's valuable.
Okay. Well, I definitely don't think that we're where I wanted to be by this afternoon. And so I think I agree that it's premature that several conversations that I hoped would have happened by this time when we set the agenda would have taken place. They haven't. And so I would make a motion that we vacate the afternoon's agenda item and that be set for January 7th at 3 p.m.
Chairman, can I make a correction? Can we do July 7th?
if you have to.
Okay. Yeah, right. I'll support the amended motion.
Okay, so yes, I amend the motion, and I have a second. Motion has been made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. All right.
And Mr. Chair, that also helped give us at least the clerk a week before the suggested comes out, too.
Yeah.
Because I know that's always a crunch at the very end.
It is. It is.
So I hope that's okay, and that works with the clerk. And okay. And then lastly, what I've got is typically there's a couple budgets we kind of oversee, and then we kind of jam at the very end, is we have the general budget and tort. So when do we want to actually talk about the general budget, or if we're going to do a reserve again or not? There's some other items in the general budget that we have not discussed through the process, and so I'd like to spend time on that. And then just tort. Do we want to use that time this afternoon for it, or, and I'm gonna look at the clerk for this one, or if he needs a couple weeks on this.
We can, we don't need a couple weeks. If you wanna do it next week.
Next week.
I would just, since, with that level of specificity, it's probably better to push it to next week, just so the agenda can reflect that discussion on that. Just count me, I don't know if I heard you suggest this afternoon.
Clerk, I see you said this afternoon or down the road, but those are the two budgets.
Next week, I just feel better that you post with those line items with more specificity, and then we can discuss that.
And then, clerk, just to follow up, Mr. Chair, is there any other budgets we have not discussed? Since we're getting towards the end, I know we're finishing the sheriff, the PA, the facilities, Weed and Pest. I think that covers everything.
I know tort and general were the two big ones that.
Yeah, they're the big.
That were not discussed yet. Oh, yeah, do we need to put the ARPA on record too? We haven't.
I think we should.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
So either you go on record, or I was just gonna include that in the clerk suggested budget to have the most real-time numbers as possible. And that could be further amended even in the posting and to public hearing, because there's gonna be more payouts as we go. And so at some point we want the budget to reflect, you know, not be unnecessarily inflated when there's more payments being made out of that. So we just cover what's outstanding.
And Chairman, I can see it both ways. There's people get confused on why we book it, why we spend it, how we spend it. I guess I like lots of information, but if the clerk wants to hold it till we get closer to the suggested time to give more real-time numbers.
Commissioners, I think that if we include it with that, we could get a general idea.
Okay, I'm in favor of that.
We can, like you said, more real-time if you know, make a suggestion of just like 20 million, but then we have a payment, then it goes down to 18. We can, we only have what we have.
Right.
I mean, you can still keep it at, like, you can have it at 20 and not revisit it, because really the concern is just to have enough budget authority to cover the expenditures.
Mm-hmm.
It would, you know, we can chip that lower to reflect that what's outstanding more accurate, but. So it's not like you're going to miss out on it. Like, if anything, the number might be slightly inflated, but as we can lower that spend. I think the controller has put, because there's only one project outstanding, correct? Or is there still the ambulance district?
Yeah.
There's still an ambulance district. So maybe we could just go on the record one more time as part of the budget process to just put on the record what remains outstanding on ARPA.
I feel more comfortable that we do the first conversation in a workshop rather than wait till the clerk's budget.
Mm-hmm.
And then that way we're treating it all the same. It's not a change of procedure. So general, tort, and ARPA.
I'm in support.
Okay, that's what we need to get agendized. Yeah, I think I would be a little bit cautious about having, I mean, we could have administrative discussion this afternoon, but we can't make any kind of decisions. All we can have is discussions because it hasn't been agendized.
So. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, Mr. Chair, I'll work with the clerk's office to see what works, and then we'll get that scheduled up, and then we should be good.
Okay, all right. Okay, so I don't think that we need a motion for that. You'll just get her done and get that scheduled.
With that, Mr. Chair, this is the last item I have for this meeting.
Okay. And so July 7th, are we still good with that far enough date out? All right. But just for clarification.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, HR works with HR. I'm assuming it works good with the clerk's office. I know this is the last second change on with them, but
okay, all right, good enough.
And that is right behind the sheriff's last workshop,
which would make sense. Then we have confirmed proposals, and then we can make whatever changes we're going to have Sounds good. Alrighty. So I would make a motion that we adjourn for this this agenda item time. And because we have a couple that are running late, and then we can reopen the record.
That sounds good, Chairman. I'll second.
Okay, motion's been made and seconded to close. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Let's consider ourselves stop for a minute, and then we'll restart on a different agenda item.